You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Got a DraftKings pick of the week for you here. Gonna keep it very simple. We're breaking down Avs versus Blues. Little bit of a spoiler alert here. We all took the Avs in the prediction section of this show. So go to DraftKings, go bet the Avs to take the series. Go win yourself some money. It's not that complicated. You can jump over there, be a smart bettor, and take a bet that just makes sense. I actually don't know the odds. I'd have to go look. I imagine the Avs are probably fairly favored, but they're not going to be insanely favored like they were against Nashville, where it was like minus 500 or something ridiculous. So you'll be able to make a little bit of money.
First line I saw yesterday had the Avs at minus 400.
That's marginally better.
Yeah.
Yes. let's see. Maybe they have them up. No, it looks like they still only have. Oh no, they do. It's only minus 380. That's fine.
It's moving in that direction. It's moving towards you making money.
If you want to get creative with it, you can take the Avs by a game and a half at minus 170. You can also take the Avs by 2.5 games at plus 135. So if you're feeling Avs in 5 or Avs in 4, there's a little bit of money to be made over on DraftKings. So go jump over there. Go get on DraftKings. You can use the DNVR code when you sign up. Bet $5. You get $150 when you bet on any NBA playoff game. Don't even have to win the bet. They just give you $150 for putting the bet down. And then you can bet that on the NHL however you want. Or you can bet it on the Ultimate Disc Championships, which they are got going on right now. They got water polo. They got volleyball. They got snooker. They got darts. They got cycling. They got cornhole. You name it. They got stuff that you can play. Okay, this cornhole tournament is called ACL Super Hole 3.
Dude, pro cornhole is a ton of fun to watch.
It's actually impossible how good they are.
It like that's one of those ones you're like, they have pro cornhole, but then you watch it and it's like, oh,
the dude throws it in the hole every time.
Every time. It's like a big deal if they just land on the board. They're like, yeah, yeah, they're crazy good.
So head over there, use the DNVR code at DraftKings. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Today, we are obviously breaking down Avs Round 2 Series. The only Round 2 Series that has any teams set has both teams set. Avs versus St. Louis. It's ridiculous. There's a possibility that even after tonight, if things go perfectly, there will be no other teams in the second round yet.
Right.
Which is insane that the Avs have been done for days and the Blues finished last night.
Right.
As we break down the series, I'm sure we'll get into all sides of it. Excuse me. But yeah, I'm glad to be back. Obviously, I'm sure y'all can tell I don't sound amazing, but
really would have done you a solid had Minnesota pulled that game out last
night. Could have used a game 7 for sure, yeah, in that series, but
you could have taken a few extra days, man.
We're battling through as best we can. We're making it work. Coming into this series, obviously the Avs the heavy betting favorite, but where are we standing? How confident are y'all feeling heading into round 2? Because let's be honest, this is the series everyone in the Avs fan base has been waiting for.
So, I don't know. I was at practice this morning talking to a few people around there, and here's where I'm at. St. Louis has a very good team. They're deep, 8-20 goal scorers. They finished the season on a great run. 9-20 goal scorers. Jared Bednar lied to us all. He said 8, so I was going in so confidently.
Robert Thomas got the 20, I think, on the last day of the season.
On game 82, yeah. So, you know, 9-20 goal scorers. You know, both their special teams are near the top of the league. This is a good team. You know, I'm personally not huge on either their goaltenders, but, like, both their goaltenders have played well down the stretch. You know, Jordan Binnington got them out of the first round, whatever.
Yeah.
All of that is true. What I'm about to say makes none of that less true. I just think the Avs match up phenomenally against this team in terms of style of play. You know,
it's
St. Louis has the depth. Minnesota had the high end talent. The Avs have both.
I like the series against Nashville. Yeah, you can say St. Louis has the depth, but I don't think their depth is even as good as the Avs. If you go down the list, Avs check every box against this team. I think they have something better at every position.
Well, and I kind of compared it last night. I was talking to someone about the old, and we've talked about it a few times on this show, just in various instances, the old Colorado-Chicago matchups of like the 2010s. Chicago was so obviously the better team, but there was just some stylistic matchup that worked for the Avs, regardless of how bad they were. And I think this is kind of similar. I agree with Evan. I think this is going to be a fun series to watch, but I feel good about the way the Avs match up.
Yeah. I really don't know what's not to like here for the Avs. I think they match up pretty darn well all the way top and to the bottom of the lineup.
When you talk about, oh, they've got 9-20 goal scorers. Well, Colorado had 7. And without Arturi Lehkonen's immigration snafu, he probably makes it 8 because he finished with 19. JT Compher finished with 18. So it's not like Colorado is like a slouch here, right? Like they're no bum in that regard. And without the injuries that they had between McKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog, Colorado could have had some 40 goal guys too. Mm-hmm. So you're really like the depth is pretty, I would say that the depth matches up pretty well through the top 9. You might give them a slight advantage. You know, with a guy like a JT Compher versus, you know, like Brandon Saad. Mm-hmm. Like you would say, okay, that's advantage St. Louis. But when you start, first of all, there's a gigantic drop off in the fourth line
for St. Louis.
Yeah, just as there is with Colorado, but with Colorado's fourth line, it's much more established what that fourth line is. Whereas that was a grab bag for the Blues basically all year, and so they don't have that like established identity like they've had in the past when they had guys like Sammy Blais and Oscar Sundquist and, you know, guys like that that were down there, Zach Sanford in the past. So they really like it's that top 9. And Justin Falk was great this year. Torrey Krug was good. Colton Parayko was good. Torrey Krug is hurt. We don't know the status of Krug right now going into the series. If he's not able to go, that's a huge problem. Marco Scandella was also hurt during the Wild Series. He came back and didn't do much. So you're wondering, is he going to be healthy enough to handle the grind of a best of 7 against Colorado or not? And this is where you don't think of the St. Louis Blues as this offensive like powerhouse, but not very good defensively. It's always been the opposite. They're great defensively. Mm-hmm. They play a punishing style. They make you work for it. Not sure they can score the goals consistently enough to get through a best of 7. That's not who the Blues are. They're not nearly as deep defensively. They're not nearly as physical, especially if they've got Callie Rosen back there with Nick Leddy. That's not a physical group at all. all the talk about Nashville's physicality and blah, blah, blah. Colorado matched that in round one. And to be honest with you, going into this round, going into this matchup, the Avs are the more physical team between these two in their current iterations.
So I do want to talk about the defense, because I think the defense is probably the Avs' biggest gap to this hockey team. I don't think the defenses are even remotely close, particularly on the offensive side. As you guys already mentioned, the Blues defense scored 2 goals in that entire series against Minnesota, both of which came in game 6, one of them from Nick Leddy, and then one a garbage time goal from Colton Parayko. And that was it for the goal scoring side. And even on the assist and production side, I didn't do the math, so I don't know the exact numbers, but it's going to be pretty close to equaling out in the playoffs of Makar and Taves production versus the entire St. Louis defense in round one. It's going to be pretty close. I didn't actually do the math. We have the Avs leading scores graphic here, which obviously, like,
St. Louis's defense had 13 points.
So Makar and Taves bodied that. Yeah. With that Avs top scoring here, obviously, is it realistic for Cale Makar to be a 10 points in 4 games guy the rest of the playoffs? Maybe not. But
no, I mean, the answer is no. Like, that pace is unsustainable. Even if that was Nathan MacKinnon with 10 points in 4 games, I'd be saying that is unsustainable. That's 2.5 points per game. Come on. That's not going to keep up. Now, the question is how far does it drop?
So I was going to say, to be fully fair, I feel like we said that's not going to keep up a lot early in the season. And a lot of this stuff kept up. I'm mostly being tongue in cheek.
I don't even know that you are, because we were right about a lot of things. We were like, it's not going to keep up, but it did keep up for a month or two.
Yeah. It kept up for a lot longer than we were expecting, but it did, like, things did normalize. But with like Makar, like, Rudo, you're muted.
Sorry. If it keeps off up for a month or two, playoffs are over.
Well, yeah. I mean, Cale Makar is not going to average 2.5 points per game this postseason. Like,
you're right.
Don't tell Cale Makar what he can and cannot do.
That's like Gretzkian. Okay. Like, that's now. You want to talk me into like 1.8 or something? I'm willing to listen.
If Makar is averaging anything over 2, we are in the greatest timeline.
at that point, he's your runaway Conn Smythe favorite, and Colorado is doing very, very well.
Yeah.
But regardless of this, Makar is a great place to start, because you look up front and you say, okay, well, the forwards, you know, they don't really have an answer to MacKinnon and Mikko, but with like Tarasenko, with O'Reilly, with, you know, Buchnevich and Kyrou and Thomas, it's like they're death by 1,000 paper cuts. Like, they match up so well, because their third line is going to go out there and just be able to eat up your third line. That's not going to be true in this series, but how well Colorado's depth does handle this. And this is where I think you make the Alex Newhook case. He's more offensively capable than Abe Kubel. And this is this kind of series where you say, hey, his strengths and weaknesses match up in this series way better than Knack's. You should really put him into this lineup, because having him there with Burakovsky and JT Compher, you're talking about, okay, now you've got their very offensive third line against your very offensive third line. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's if you can match their depth, anything that Colorado has on defense is better than what St. Louis has.
Well, so a couple things there. I agree with you. And I think Newhook will get a look in this series either way. And you make a good point of, like, I saw there was so much conversation in the first round with Newhook not playing. And what a lot of people I think either didn't understand or chose to ignore was it was a stylistic decision. It wasn't we think any of these guys are, you know, better or any better or worse than Alex Newhook, but we think that there's a couple of these guys who stylistically make a little bit more sense for us in this series.
Yeah.
And I think this series, at the bare minimum, you have a case to make. And I think you just made it perfectly of now it's Alex Newhook who matches up well stylistically. I thought Abe Kubel was good in the first round.
Yeah, I didn't have any issues.
If you don't have the depth that you've got, I don't think that I don't think I'd want to pull him out of that lineup. But this is a situation where I think it makes more sense for Alex Newhook to at the very least get a look and see how he helps balance those third lines. And then your comment there about the defense. That has been Colorado's great, I don't even know if equalizer is the right word, but I mean, that has been their secret matchup weapon all year. And I go back to game two against Nashville, overtime. It's the fourth line out there, but who scores the goal? It's Cale Makar. You have the ability at home or on the road to find yourself in a positive mismatch on any given shift, because if you're rolling your bottom six out there, even if you're on the road and okay, they want to match that however they want to match it, you roll Cale Makar and Devon Toews and you immediately have the two best players on the ice, regardless of who they match with. If you start getting a team to match depth for depth, again, that overtime goal is a great example. You want to go depth for depth. The defense is just the ultimate X factor.
Yeah. I do want to dig into St. Louis's defense a little bit more as well, but we are brought to you by Avoca TV. You can go over to Avoca, EVOCA.TV/DNVR to get signed up today. First 3 months, just $15. So a fantastic deal right there when you use code DNVR. Be sure you jump on that. They've got Altitude. They've got AT&T Sports Network. They've got national channels. So they have you covered for the vast majority of sports in the Denver metro area. If you're local, super easy to use as well. It just comes with a box. You plug it right into your TV. You're popping around on the television just like you used to do with Comcast when they actually showed, you know, sports. But instead, Comcast don't do that anymore, at least not for Altitude. So go get a Avoca TV instead and use that. Again, right on your TV. Easy stuff. EVOCA.TV/DNVR. $15 a month the first 3 months. Just $25 a month after that. So good for that type of thing. I'm playing for DirecTV Stream $70 a month right now. So it's a way better deal than that, let me tell you. Also brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get 8 different kinds on tap down at the DNVR bar. And they are sending 2 Avs fans to every single Avs home playoff game. So go over to breckbrew.com, nominate someone to win some of those tickets. You got to get in on it. It's ridiculous that they're giving away two playoff tickets, 2 Ball Arena to every game. This includes this round, the third round. It includes the cup finals if the Avs make it that far. So the giveaway here is actually ridiculous. You got to get in on it with Breck Brew. Go to breckbrew.com. Check it out. Drink their beers. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. Maybe go to a playoff game. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So as we bring up the St. Louis's top scorers from round one, you get Perron, you get O'Reilly, you get Tarasenko. And my big question is, yeah, I get it. Perron was hurt last year, but we saw
COVID.
Yeah, sorry, COVID, my bad. St. Louis's top line by the end of that series was avoiding the Avs top line.
Yeah.
Ryan O'Reilly was not getting matched against Nathan MacKinnon. And you look at St. Louis's defense behind that. And my question is, how does St. Louis stop Nathan MacKinnon, Gabe Landeskog, Mikko Rantanen? How do they do it?
Yeah, their top two pairings last night, they had Nick Leddy with Colton Parayko, which if that's the matchup that you want to run, you're going to get worked. And then they had Justin Falk kind of doing the thing that the Avs had Sam Girard doing last year, where they kind of had him moving around with different D partners just based on situations. But that's a problem. Like, you don't have an answer to that question. Like, you just don't. You're just hoping that you get through that, because there isn't like Colton Parayko especially since Pietrangelo left, we've seen, you know, he struggled with the back injury a bit, but we've seen that he just hasn't lived up to that. Like, he hasn't taken that like next step to being like that shutdown number one guy, that true like two way do everything for you. He's a good player. He's a good defender. He's big and he's physical, but he has, if that's your best response to Colorado's top offerings, you're in trouble. Like, you don't, and you have no way of overcoming. Like, you just need Colton Parayko to have the series of his life.
It's, I think it's kind of turtles all the way down too, isn't it? Right? Because you get down to their third pairing and you're saying, you're asking Callie Rosen to stop Alex Newhook.
Well, Callie Rosen actually, he was Justin Falk's primary partner last night.
So he's playing on their second pair?
Yeah.
And you're asking those dudes to stop anybody?
So keep in mind, they did play 7D last night, so there was a lot of mixing and matching. Jumbling, but like, sure. Scott Perunovich played 3 minutes of even strength time in last night's game. Like, there isn't a lot of trust there yet. And while Scott Perunovich is a nice prospect, you know, he's an interesting guy, he'd be an X factor for them in this series if I thought he was going to get like a lot of ice time. I don't know that that's going to happen. Justin Falk's not there. Justin Falk isn't their top D. He doesn't even get used that way.
He's very much an offensive minded target for them.
Well, and like, they play him a ton on their PK as well, but like,
just because they have no one else to use. Is, well, like, when you go down the line of Krug, Falk, and Letty, it's like,
Well, and they use Mikola a lot on their PK, and then they just rotate their PK guys. That's what happens when you don't have like that hard answer where you're like, we want to lean heavily on these guys. You're kind of like, hey, well, Colorado does something similar on their PK where they just kind of rotate a lot of guys in because they're like, hey, these guys can all kind of contribute to this. So, and their PK is great. They're fifth in the NHL in PK this year. And they were second on the power play. Their special teams is huge.
Yeah, that's going to be, to me, if there's any one part of this series where you sit there and say St. Louis is going to give themselves a chance, it's if the Avs start getting themselves into penalty trouble.
Definitely. If this is a low penalty series, you have to really like Colorado's chances even more.
Yeah.
If Colorado opens up the door and they do dumb shit and they give St. Louis power play opportunities, they're going to have it. It's going to be a lot harder.
Yeah.
St. Louis isn't a very good 5-on-5 team. But if you play a special teams battle with them, if you let special teams dictate games, they'll beat you. Consistently, they will beat you.
And honestly, I feel like that's a lot of what happened in their first round series with Minnesota. That first round series I thought was really interesting for them, because I mentioned earlier, like, Minnesota had the high-end talent, but nothing for depth. St. Louis, while they don't necessarily have like the ultra high-end talent, they've got the depth. And AJ, I think you put it perfectly earlier that St. Louis had the season, the type of season they had, because they just feasted on teams like Minnesota. You know, we're good enough at the top to survive on most nights, and our depth will eat you up. And if you're going to want to, if you're going to try to really ramp up physicality and take some penalties, we'll make you pay there. And, you know, Minnesota kind of turned out to be the pretender that we all kind of thought they were, once it got into a 7-game series, but they got themselves in penalty trouble. And wouldn't you know it, Kirill Kaprizov couldn't win a playoff series on his own.
Yeah.
He tried great. I mean, an unbelievable series from him. They St. Louis leaned into their two things that are really, really strong points for them, their depth and their special teams, and it got them out of the first round. If they can't, I think we all kind of agree the depth is going to be a lot harder for them to lean on. And then if they're not getting the special teams battle that they got in the first round, kind of just going off of everything else we were just talking about, their matchups against Colorado's top line, it's going to be a tough series for them, but there's a formula for them to make it close. If you're just going straight 5-on-5 for the most part, you know, I think we're kind of painting the picture here that it's going to be tough for St. Louis to match up, go blow for blow, assuming the Avs bring some level that we saw, you know, some level of what we saw in the first round.
Shout out to the couple of Blues fans in our chat. We see you. We appreciate you hanging out.
Sorry, you're mad.
Being very reasonable.
Or look, at least yeah, they were you when can I last be mad. Left. Just keep it reasonable. Don't be an asshole, and we're cool.
Yeah. You know? Somebody asked what were how did the special teams perform in the first round? Minnesota scored 4 goals on the power play, and St. Louis scored 8.
Okie dokie.
St. Louis, St. Louis tore that ass up on special teams.
So here is the other, I don't know how much of a question mark it is, but maybe an uncertainty going into this series for St. Louis. At this point, it is Jordan Binnington's net. Ville Husso lost it in the first round. Binnington won 3 games in a row for them. So the Avs are going to get Jordan Binnington.
Yeah. Like,
and who knows? Yeah.
We'll just see, right?
Is he going to play well?
By the way, we did end up seeing all 4 goalies in the first round of that series. So we nailed it.
St. Louis is very thankful they got Cam Talbot last night, which, boy, was that cold-blooded. The guy hasn't played in 2 weeks. You throw him out there in an elimination game, and he gives up that super softy to start the game, and it's like...
If you're Cam Talbot, do you feel slighted at all?
Slighted.
You went on a tear to end the season, clearly outplayed Fleury.
Yeah.
And then the first time you get in is like, hey, all right, man, we're on the verge of being eliminated and we've been outplayed for 3 straight games. Get in there and steal it for us. It's like, ah, what the hell?
I feel like you were slighted the second they picked up Fleury, though. You kind of knew.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. It's not like they were going to give that up and then not play Fleury.
Yeah, like I do think that it was disrespectful.
To me, it should have been one of those things where he should have gotten the game 1 start with a short leash. Given the way he played down the stretch, like to me, that should have been his game 1 net. And if he lost, you could have gone right to Fleury for game 2 and felt like you at least made the effort to do the right thing.
Well, that's where I'm at with it, because game 1 Minnesota got straight bopped. St. Louis shuts him out 4-0, and you don't go to him after that.
Right. If nothing else, just for like the emotional shakeup of the team, like even tell Fleury, like, this isn't about you. We're, you know, I just need a jolt here. We'll get you back in there. But second round pick lit on fire, I guess.
Well,
I mean, you take a chance, right? Like,
no, I know. And I'm
what the deadline is lighting picks on fire for dreams.
But it comes with the caveat of Minnesota also lighting $14 million cap on fire. So,
hey, there's a take St. Louis and Colorado fans can agree with. Fleury is overrated.
Yeah.
Ah, the truth.
Yeah. Colorado fans are just tired of hearing about him.
No kidding.
Now we don't have to hear about Fleury anymore until people start obsessing over the offseason.
Right.
When it's like, if Darcy Kuemper plays well during the postseason, it's like, he's going to ask for too much money. Sign Fleury. And
go get Fleury. Yeah. And if he doesn't play well, it's back. Like, see? Yeah. Yeah. No matter how this playoff goes, if the Avs win the cup and Darcy Kuemper doesn't give up another goal, or if they get bounced in the second round, there's going to be calls for Fleury no matter what.
It's true.
He's either going to cost too much or isn't good enough. And
Yeah, it will be interesting, though, speaking of goaltending, to see how the Blues manage that position, because they've kind of just sort of hot-handed their way through the season. And in a best of 7, that can be tricky to do. Like, they got away with, oh, hey, like, Ville Husso shit the bed in one of those games. So he was bad. You put Jordan Binnington in, and then you wait for Jordan Binnington to have a bad game, and then you go back to Husso. And then Binnington just doesn't have one, so now you're fine. But it's hard to, you know, it works great if the guy that comes in plays well. But if the guy that comes in doesn't play very well, then you're really you're just in a tough spot there. And it's kind of the downside of the platoon is that neither guy is really in rhythm.
Right.
But you don't really know on a day-to-day basis what you're going to get out of that position. You're just kind of hoping it goes well.
Yeah.
Do we want to have the rest versus rust debate, especially with Darcy Kuemper, given he has not played since game three? It's going to be, you know, Monday or Tuesday, roughly 11, 12 days since the last time Darcy played in a hockey game.
Yeah, I think he's the one that you're worried about being rusty. I'm not worried about the Avs at all. The Avs, this is like the one year that the Avs have come back on from breaks and just been fine. And we saw him in game one of the postseason last year against Vegas. You remember they sat around for a week after beating St. Louis and smoked Vegas. And like, obviously Vegas was exhausted and that was a bad situation. But like Colorado was ready to play in game one of that series. And I think that Colorado will be just fine. I think they're going to get a much better game from St. Louis than they got from really either Vegas or Nashville. I think it's going to be a great game. I think game one is going to rock.
Well, and the one thing that, again, you know, talking about the rest versus rust thing, like, the Avs, it's actually what I'm currently writing a piece on right now, is about how they have been able to not really have that affect them. They've got a different mental focus about them this year and a different level of intensity.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we talked a lot at the end of the season about flipping the switch. And while I don't necessarily want to oversimplify it that way, it's amazing what a difference there was in the vibe at practice yesterday versus today.
Yesterday, you know, everybody's hanging out and today is business.
Right. And like, you know, they were skating hard and they were snapping pucks around and stuff yesterday, but you know, there was a lot more kind of just loosey goosiness. But today, I mean, it was hard passes, crisp skating, full speed, you know, digging in,
back to work.
And I asked Bednar, I said, do you feel like, because, you know, the last few days and since the end of game four, it's been about being able to reset, recharge, you know, get refocused and, you know, have a day off to kind of, you know, replenish ourselves and blah, 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 blah. I said, do you feel like once that game ended last night, it flipped from, oh, nice, it's nice to get some time off in between these games, to we are in round two and now it's all about prepping for round two? And first, he said 100%. Their rest ended last night. They are no longer waiting around. They're no longer, you know, in between the first and second round. They know who the opponent is. They are ready to, you know, ready to get to work. And for St. Louis, again, I'm not doubting that they won't come ready for game one.
Yeah.
But like, today is their day to rest and recharge and reset. And then tomorrow they've got to get back to work and probably get on a plane.
I was going
to
say they should get here as soon as possible so that by game two, they're not feeling altitude at all anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's just, you know, I think the Avs actually will benefit a little bit from the St. Louis series not going seven games. Cause you know, there's the stat out there that team, when there's a matchup of a team that just swept versus a team that went seven games, it has been many, 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 many years since a team that swept has then won their next series against a team that went seven games. I just think that, you know, you're not going to have St. Louis coming in right off of that super emotional high. Both teams will have to kind of level set a bit. And if you're the Avs, you just hope that your preparedness can leave you feeling a little bit better going into game one.
Okay. We are brought to you by the American Raptors. You can go see them at the Infinity Park in Glendale for absolutely free. Highly recommend if you haven't gone down there and checked them out yet. We also have Colton Strickler doing the DNVR rugby podcast.
Did you see that the United States is trying to bring the Rugby World Cup to here?
Yeah, to America? Their men's and women's 15 teams practice at Infinity Park, by the way. So literally the best rugby in the country happens here. Highly recommend you go see some of that. Colton has the DNVR Rugby podcast. You can follow him on Twitter. He's got everything. If you're into the sport, he'll have interviews with literal legends of the sport. If you're new, he's got 101 pods so you can learn the sport. Hit up all of that cool stuff. I really wish the season didn't overlap as much with hockey so that I could watch more of it. But unfortunately, we kind of got a Stanley Cup going on. Maybe fortunately in this case. But either way, go over there, go follow the DNVR Rugby account on Twitter, go check out all of that stuff. Again, you can go see an American Raptors game. If you have any interest in rugby or just want a night on the town, you can go to Infinity Park at Glendale for free, literally $0 to go have a great time at a rugby game. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's get into X Factors. We talked about it a little bit already. For the Avs, I think this is an obvious one, especially after round one. You have Devon Toews. The dude is just an absolute monster, and he's exactly what St. Louis is lacking on the opposite side.
Good defenseman?
Yep. I don't think it's complicated, but you're asking Devon Toews, and to a lesser extent, Cale Makar, but you're asking that top pairing to say, hey, we're going to match you up against most likely St. Louis's top line and obviously however the matchups run down, they run down. But if they play quality defense and keep the other team in check, you can rely on the Avs top line to get theirs.
So I thought the Devon Toews goal in game four, where he tied the game in the third period, I thought that goal was like poetically representative of who he kind of has become on this team in the terms of he joined that rush late and kind of became the forgotten guy on that rush as everyone was keeping their eye, you know, looking down low, and suddenly EJ just finds him with a perfect pass. And he's got 20 feet to walk down the middle of the ice, rips a puck past Connor Ingram. And it was a huge goal and just a really muted celebration. And I thought that, like I said, I thought that was representative. He's become this like forgotten in terms of other teams, forgotten elite piece that can just kill you all over the ice. And he's done it all season. And yet you get so caught up in chasing around Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Bowen Byram, Mikko Rantanen, Gabe Landeskog, that every now and then this all-world elite defenseman just comes walking down the slot with no one within 20 feet of him. And, I mean, he's made a killing on those types of plays all year. Where, look, he hasn't been a finalist, but, like, he's had Norris-caliber seasons 2 years in a row.
Yeah, if he was not playing next to Cale Makar, he would get real Norris consideration.
Right. And the fact that that guy, depending on the line you put out there, is the fifth guy that you have to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
I love how you brought that up too, Jesse, because obviously everyone was watching Cale Makar score 28 goals this year, right? Was he going to get to 30? Yada, yada, yada. Devon Toews had 13 goals, which is good enough for top 10. In all defensemen in the regular season. Like, dude's pretty okay.
Pretty all right. And like,
and he had 57 points. Like, he had as many points as David Perron did this year.
Well, I mean, two goals in that first round. And he's kind of like Berkey, where it's like, yeah, this dude only scores nasty goals. Like, the one to tie, it's an elbow in short side. It is just funny that for as an elite of a season as he had, not only was it kind of quiet outside of Colorado, it wasn't talked about much at all, despite being a top 10 offensive season from defensemen. And he's the second thought on not only on like this team, but on his own pairing. He's the second guy. And it's just crazy because he's been a Norris level defenseman 2 years in a row.
Yeah, it's just an insane advantage for the Avs to have a guy like that and be able to say, yep, he's not even our number one.
Right. He's not even the best guy in his own pairing.
Yeah. So pretty ridiculous. On the blue side of X Factors, you know who it is. It was on the opposite side of this battle last year. It's the does he count as an evil X? I don't know. We have to have this conversation. It's Brandon Saad as the X Factor on the St. Louis's side. We know O'Reilly counts as an evil X. Does Brandon Saad count? Is it too soon?
I mean, he kind of counts as an evil X.
All right. Give it the half and half.
Yeah, I mean,
it's someone you for a few months.
He was like your rebound.
Yeah.
I was going to say your rebound person that doesn't stick around very long, but I was like, I don't know what they were rebounding from, but 100%.
More disappointment, more playoff heartbreak. They rebounded into Brandon Saad, and now they're rebounding into Arturi Lehkonen.
So is Brandon Saad the X Factor? I know he's a X Factor, but an X Factor, but is it him or Perron?
$2 from Devontae's is the most underrated player in the NHL. I can't give it to Perron because he was literally their leading scorer in the first round. Yeah, so that's not an X factor. That's a main factor.
Yeah.
And to answer that question, I mean, I don't know if Devontae's is the most underrated player, but I think he's up there right now in terms of maybe doesn't get the love he deserves.
Give me Rasmus Anderson. He's my most underrated player.
There you go. I think Landy's up there too, actually.
Dude, the year that he had was so stupid. And then he comes out he hasn't played in, 7 weeks? And he comes out and just casually is like, oh, yeah, in the middle of this playoff series, I'm just going to have a 4-point night. By the way, 6 points in 4 games. Hello.
Thing that impressed me the most is he comes out game one. Dude hasn't played in 7 weeks on a questionable knee. And he's an absolute tank of a human being.
Yeah.
He's a force, dude.
Like, couldn't knock him over on a bad knee. And you're like, okay, I guess Landy's just an actual beast.
Him running through O'Reilly last year and then setting up the goal was where I was like, all right, this guy's a little bit of a different player than I've always kind of pictured him to be. Like, he's got a different gear.
Well, and then last year he also had him beating the holy shit out of Braden Schenn.
Yeah.
Where it was like, yeah, he set that tone in the series that this St. Louis like intimidation thing isn't going to happen. I don't think that's going to be a concern this year with St. Louis because the Blues just haven't really had that same kind of attitude. They're much more like your classic like fire wagon team. Like they just want to drop a 5 spot on you and mock you on the way out, right?
Hey, speaking of 5 goals, I couldn't believe what you had sent me yesterday. And when I was watching that game, I was like, well, I already know how this is going to end then.
Yeah.
That was pretty unbelievable, dude.
I do want to talk about the physical side a little bit more later, but I want to circle back to Saad first. The reason I put him as the X factor is kind of as we've already summed up. At 5-on-5, St. Louis's depth has got to get the job done for them. Their forward depth has got to be the one scoring goals, either pushing them ahead or keeping them in games at least enough to get their power play going, right? Because it's really hard to find an edge for St. Louis in this series outside of special teams. So Saad on a third line, second line, however they end up using him, obviously stuff's going to get mixed and matched. Is it the one spot you can see the Avs maybe getting into a spot of trouble?
Well, look, like that first round showed us, and I actually was a little surprised, Bednar today, he goes, look, Nashville had one line of offense. We knew what we had to do. We knew what the assignment was. We had to shut that line down, and they did so swimmingly.
I mean, They didn't. They didn't even. Matt Duchene scored three goals. Like, they did an okay job. I mean, it's three goals in four games. Like, you're not going to win any games like that.
Well, I was saying the first two came when his team was down by more than six.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, he was right. I mean, that was an easy, like, okay, what are you going to do to stop Nashville? Like, obviously, it was like, okay, they have a couple of 40 goal scorers and they got a bunch of bums.
Look, man, if Yakov Trenin beats you, he beats you.
Yeah, like, three goals to Yakov Trenin and you lost no games because of it. Like, you're fine. Right.
Well, the Blues
are not going to be that, man. That is a much tougher assignment.
Right. And that's kind of where I'm going with that. And I think, Rudo, you're right. You know, when you're talking about him on that second, third line, if St. Louis is going to keep themselves in this game, it's going to have to come from those guys. David Perron is another, like, weird Joe Pavelski type where, like, it just clicks for him against the Abs for whatever reason. So, like, you'll have to worry about that. O'Reilly's a good player. But that's where the Abs are going to focus. They're going to get the toughest. That line from St. Louis is going to get the toughest matchups. They're going to be having to fight for their offensive zone time. St. Louis is going to stay in this series if their depth, if they're, you know, Brandon Sods of their team are making enough noise and causing enough problems for the Abs down around the net.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, you could take out Brandon Saad and you could put in David Perron. You could put in Braden Schenn. You could put in Ryan O'Reilly. Like, pick a guy. Like, when you have the kind of scoring depth that they have, like, they're all going to be really important.
It, of course. And it's just, as Chad is kind of saying, yeah, if your top line sucks, you're in trouble. That's not an X factor. You're like, in deep shit if your top line is not producing.
70-point guys. Like, if you're Thomas, Kyrou, Tarasenko, those guys aren't producing, you're probably not winning the series. Yeah. If Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Val Nichushkin don't produce in the series, Colorado probably doesn't win. Right. Like, your top guys have to produce. That's not an X factor. That's an expectation.
Yep.
This is the postseason. You pay these dudes for these moments. You don't pay, you didn't go out and get Pavel Buchnevich and he had a great year and all that, but you didn't pay him all that money to turn around and be like, all right, well, thanks for the 70-point season. Go ahead and don't bother showing up for the playoff. It's all good, man.
So I don't know if this is an X factor, but it's kind of taken on a life of its own at this point. The Kadri factor.
Thought about that.
Yeah, he's... So Kadri hasn't played well at all since coming back from the shoulder injury. He had the games down the stretch. He didn't look any good. He just hasn't been the same guy, caliber of play. And, like, I'm not even
asking. Three, I liked his game.
I'm not even asking him to be like the guy that had like 70 points in 50 games or like that was so dumb. And it was so unrealistic to just expect this guy to continue to be a top five player in the NHL. Like, let's be real.
We got $5 from Micah here. Sorry to cut you off. On work calls, so I can't listen, but just looking at you beauties and getting hyped for round two. Let's go, Avs. Appreciate the five, Micah.
But, like, Kadri has to play better. And, like, he had the really nice feed to Landeskog for the fourth goal in game three. The one that got challenged for interference, and they did not win that challenge and stood.
He also had a couple borderline gimmies that he couldn't finish.
Well, and like he gets the freebie, right, on the ensuing power play. So it's like, oh, he has a goal and an assist in a, like 2 minute span as they go from 3-3 to 5-3 and put that game away. But outside of that stretch, like Nazem Kadri has a lot more to give, and he has to give it against St. Louis. He's a huge part of the selling point that Colorado's depth can keep up. And with Robert Thomas – Ryan O'Reilly is your centers here. Like, Nazem Kadri has to step up and answer the bell in the series, especially with the uncertainty of the 3C. Nazem Kadri has to be that guy this series.
The thing is, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but there's that added factor of this with the Justin Falk situation last year. And we saw it multiple games this regular season. St. Louis came after him, not just the once it's solved. They kept pushing that button.
Yeah, they the first game of the year was stupid because they went after him twice, and it was like he did like what do you want from him? But it was like constant, like they were constantly testing him. And I said against Nashville, you'd be an idiot not to push him in the postseason. Try and get him to do something dumb. Try and get him to do something dangerous. Like you would be an idiot not to maybe even cross a line to test him to see if you can get him to do something irresponsible. It's just, I mean. Unfortunately, it's at this point in Kadri's career, it's just smart. It's just smart hockey.
Well, and you know they're going to come at him because of the history, because of the way that the games went earlier this season. I give Kadri a ton of credit. I thought he handled himself really well in the first round when the Preds were trying to, you know, bait him into stuff.
Yeah.
He did a good job of
Olivier skated by him at center ice and was like, oh, I'm going to poke the bear. Literally.
Yeah.
And Kadri was like.
Right. He did a good job of defending himself when needed, but not getting sucked into any of that stuff. And, you know, Josh Manson talked after, I think, game two. And I mean, he straight up said, like, look, we're not going to let teams do that to him. He's too important to us, and we're not going to let teams, you know, goad him into that stuff. And so I think Kadri's aware of it. I think the team's aware of it.
Sure.
So while I don't doubt for a second, and I agree with you fully, AJ, if St. Louis didn't try it, I'd be like, they don't deserve to win this series. If you're not going to try to get that guy off his game and get him thrown out, you know, you're not doing your job. So I think they'll do it.
Get in his head and get him back to school or something. I mean, he's a notoriously emotional guy. You want to push on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you know that the way that the Avs are rallying around him, that there's, hey, if you push that guy, two dudes might freak out and do something, right, you know, in defense of him. Like, we saw Josh Manson somehow be the only guy with a penalty when they literally went after him. Like, Luke Cunningham goes after Kadri at the end of a period, and it was all good. And Josh Manson defended him, and like, that's where you are. Like, you've got to, he knows that that's coming. And he just has to handle it. And I look, he's either going to, or he's not there. He hasn't earned any level of trust whatsoever because of his career. And he knows that, mm-hmm. But he has to go out there and he just has to do it. He has to stay cool. But at the same time, he has to find a way to walk that line and still be the player he needs to be, because part of what makes him effective is that he lives on that edge. And that makes him a really good player.
5 pounds from Metalhead here, saying, Avs fan from UK. Love you guys and all of your coverage. Love the DNVR vibes. Go Avs, go. You guys are crazy.
Love the pounds.
That's like, it's the opposite of Canadian money. Pounds, it's like $10. If it's Canadian money, it's like
$2.50. AJ, you make a good point there, and we can move on from Kadri, not to, you know, beat this to death too much, but you know, about, while you love that Kadri seems to, or at least has to this point in the season, really gotten a lid on a lot of that stuff, you don't want him to bottle it up too much, because that is part of what, you know, who he is as a player. And that's the same conversation that we had a couple months ago about Nathan MacKinnon with the fight. That is what makes Nathan MacKinnon Nathan MacKinnon, not necessarily the fight, but that fire and that, you know, competitiveness, and that you're not going to do that to one of our guys. It's the same thing with Kadri. He's obviously is a very, you know, well-recorded history of going too far, but that's part of what makes him who he is, and why he's gotten to this point in his career. He's got that edge to him, and mm-hmm. You want to see him keep a lid on it, but don't bottle it up too much.
You got to walk the line. You still have to be an effective player. You can't be worrying about it so much that you don't play the game, you know, right, to the best of his ability. Yeah. He's got to be, because he's really important. He's got to be better than he has been.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the part of the show where I get to lord over you all the facts that I called a sweep in round one as DeGro gives us $2. I don't like how the refs still pick on Kadri. I don't think they do necessarily.
He also whines a lot. You know, like the guy goes down really easily.
He also gets a lot of calls.
Everything is really dramatic with Nazem Kadri. Like he goes down in the center. Somebody breathes on him in center ice and he like contorts his body and his stick goes flying and you're just like, this is why you don't get some calls, man. Like this would be why, because some of this is a little over the top.
Call in the predictions. What do we got for round two predictions from the group?
I mean, I'm gonna go with a F4-2 just because I'm not trusting of, I guess, just this whole situation to the, like, what's the difference between a 4-1 and a 4-2?
One hockey game.
Yeah, and ultimately, you don't give a shit about that in the long run. It doesn't matter. It's like the difference between 4-0 and 4-1 versus Nashville wouldn't have mattered. Like, whatever. So, we all agree that this is Colorado series lose. They're the better team. They're better. They're really better in all three levels. The one area that St. Louis can compete, I would say on any given day, goaltending can always be there, but their forward depth is great. And that's really it. I don't think that's good. Teams that aren't good defensively don't usually go deep into the postseason. And this is, especially without Torrey Krug, they were already fighting an uphill battle on that side of the puck. Without Torrey Krug, it's going to get worse. So
you're essentially asking Jordan Binnington to be even better than he was in their original cup run. It's an insane ask for him in goal, given the defense in front of him.
I mean, and look, goalies can change any 7-game series. It's always a possibility.
10 Canadian here from Drew saying, awesome work as always. Just wondering what your thoughts are on how short a leash Binnington will have if he starts to slip. I think
it won't be
that. Yeah.
I don't think he'll have a long leash because Ville Husso was so good for them this year that if Jordan Binnington gives up 3 in the first period of game one, I think we see Ville Husso.
I mean, yeah, if you see a total eruption, sure. But if he loses game one, 4-1, something like that, assuming he doesn't get 3 dropped on his head right away, I think given the way round one went, they're going to have a hard time getting away from Binnington.
Yeah. Back to the predictions, to me, honestly, like it's one of those things where I could see, I think the only way St. Louis wins this series, if it goes deep, if it goes to 7 games and a lot of things go their way. Again, I don't think it's out of the question that St. Louis could win the series, but like you said, AJ, I think we all agree that this is the Avs series to lose. And honestly, I don't think any result would surprise me from another 4-0 sweep to 7 games. Like, I just think this series, there's so many X factors in terms of like, a couple breaks here or there in this series can look a lot of different ways. And Binnington is a huge part of that. Special teams are a big part of that.
This group, man, you just can't.
Right. Darcy Kemper is a big part of that. I mean, he's been phenomenal, I think, this season. But like AJ said, goaltending can switch at the drop of a hat.
A couple more super chats here. You guys being extremely generous. Thank you. £5 from Judgy saying, Avs fan since 95. My wife is from St. Louis. This series could cause a problem at home.
You made it through last year. You're fine.
True. And then $2 from the Schick. We all know the only real story is Taves versus Letty.
It kind of is. Because if Nick Letty can have the best series that he's ever had, St. Louis needs that. And if Devon Taves has his worst series since coming to Colorado, well, St. Louis needs that too.
Then it's a conversation.
Yeah.
I think the Avs are just this good, man. Like I picked the 4-1 because I really think the Avs are just that much better than everyone in the West.
And I really like the St. Louis team. It's the particular matchup here. It's Nathan MacKinnon going against Colton Parayko and Falk, and you're just like, dude, those guys are just, those are good NHL players going up against an elite.
I like the forward core, you know, Binnington on any given day, whatever. But that defense is not a defense that should get you through the second round on St. Louis. Yeah.
And like not having Torrey Krug just makes them worse, because that was one of their more, like, if you're not going to be good defensively, you need to move pucks well. And he still does that well enough. And you remove that from the lineup and you end up with Callie Rosen in your lineup. And it's like, fuck, dude. Callie Rosen just does not do Torrey Krug's job.
No offense to Callie Rosen, but that's a big step down.
Yeah, like Callie Rosen's a fine, like, quadruple A, like, fill-in type guy. But this is similar to when a couple years ago when the Avs were playing Duncan Siemens in the playoffs, Mark Barberio in the playoffs. Like, when you have a couple of injuries, you start to get into those guys, and it's just too much. It's just too much of a step down.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Avs are in prime position to take this series. And, of course, there's a reason they play the games.
Yeah, they still have to do it, man. I mean, we haven't really talked about it, but, like, this is as much them against themselves, them against their own demons, them against, like, this round two monster that we sort of created over the last few years.
If you want to see your own demons, watch the Toronto Maple Leafs blowing game 6 last night. Like... The hardest guy to beat is yourself sometimes.
Yeah. When they went up 3-2, I was like, this feels like they may do it. They're going to over, you know, they got the lead. They're going into the third. This is where they show the maturity. That 5-on-3, I tweeted, I said, this 5-on-3 feels like the series. If they kill this off, they'll get through the rest of this game. If they give one up and Tampa comes back to win it, I don't like what is going through Austin Matthews' head right now. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't want to know. Some bad voodoo getting anywhere near that, I think.
Dude, no kidding.
I mean, you have to, and that will be one thing in this series. The emotional side of this is that nobody, outside of Greg Wyshynski, nobody thinks St. Louis is going to do anything, right? Like, people are still picking the Avs. People are still saying, okay, like, this Avs team should really do this thing. And internally, like, look, if the Avs lose game 1, that pressure skyrockets. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes from 0 to 10,000 overnight. Because now it's like, oh, man, are you guys going to blow this? This is your best opportunity to get through this. You're on home ice. You're the best home ice team out west. You've got all these advantages. You're as good as you are, blah, 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 blah. But the first, you know, their first loss is 2-1 or 3 or to make it 2-1 or 3-1, it's not such a big deal. But if they get down in the series, you know, if they're down 1-0, oh man, like, just it changes the emotional complexion of this in every facet. So it's an important part of the conversation. The Colorado handling expectations, Colorado handling, you know, the world expects them to finally do something great. And St. Louis gets to just play free and be like, ah, well, nobody believes in us and F these guys. And, you know, the true underdog thing, as much as the Avs, like, occasionally painted themselves as underdogs in round one, like, good for them to, like, get up motivationally in that way. Like,
whatever. Toto painting Mercedes as the underdogs, man.
Yeah, right, like, come on, bud. But
I do appreciate that. And again, I agree with you. It was a little weird, some of the verbiage they used in that first round. But, like, I do think there is a little bit of a mentality of, again, like, when it comes right down to it, people have to put their picks on paper. It's amazing how many of these tough guys who think the Avs are phonies pick the Avs. But, like, you know, they are very well aware of the narrative that people think that, you know, oh, they can't get out of the second round. They don't have it in them to go deep. Like, they've got that in, you know, in them. And honestly, AJ, like, it'll be interesting. I don't know if I fully agree that game one has the same importance that you were just saying, but
you don't think the pressure skyrockets if they lose game one?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll disagree.
The Avs have been there before. They've been in the 2-0 spot and lost four straight to Vegas, right? I think they have some knowledge there. If they lose both at home, though.
Right. That's where I think it changes. But, you know, just again, I'm just going based off the way that this team has talked. And even, you know, that first round series, it was something they specifically called out. Look, we can't win the Stanley Cup tonight for game one. We can't even win the series tonight. We want to come out. We want to get a good start. We want to get things going off on the right foot. But we understand that if we lose tonight, you got to win four. It's not just one. And it'll be really curious to see how this team actually embraces that mindset. Because I think, Rudo, that's a great point. Vegas was down 2-0 last year and rattled off four straight. And I think a lot of that was because they didn't allow themselves to get consumed by the moment. And once things started to slide, the Avs did. And they've talked all year about can't let that happen again. We have to learn the lessons from that series. And I mean, you could be right. Like, you could be right, AJ. They if they lose game one, they could start gripping sticks and all that stuff. But
I think the pressure goes up. How they handle it is up to them. But I think if they lose game one, like,
the pressure goes up. I don't think it turns up to that 11 level until game two. I don't think you're really boiling over if they drop game one, unless, you know, obviously it depends on how the bread gets made, but.
Right. Yeah. You know, either way though, I think it'll be a fun series. I think it's a good matchup for the Avs, and I think it's gonna be a good matchup to watch.
I think it'll be a great series, man. I just don't know how long it'll be.
Yep. Great doesn't have to be long. Any final thoughts on the series, or are we good?
My pickup line.
I got nothing after that.
All right. Eagles do play tonight. They're up 1-0 in their series on Ontario in the AHL playoffs. So something fun there if you're looking for Colorado hockey. Of course,
Eagles tried to win that best of five in game one.
Yeah, no kidding. And they tried to win it in period one, man.
Yeah, that 10-1 was something else.
Okay, we are going to get out of here. Hope y'all enjoyed the preview. Over the weekend and or Monday, Tuesday, depending on when series start ending, we'll have series previews here for you on YouTube for the rest of the playoffs. Be sure to tune into those as well. You know we have you covered for anything and everything Avs. So we appreciate all of y'all. We are out of here, and we will talk to you the next time we have a podcast.